Today we're studying Bamidbar chapter 3. The subject of this chapter is quite unified by the way the chapter is cut up. But if you actually read the parshias from before that and after that, you see that things are a little bit more complicated. So we'll try to tell the story as the person who cut up the chapters made it. But I will mention the difficulties here a little bit. I don't entirely have an understanding of what is going on, but we'll tell you what it says. So we have discussed in the previous chapter, we have had an explicit mitzvah about it, right? The previous chapter was, the previous two chapters were, the two subjects of the previous two chapters, correspondingly, were the counting or the census of the people of all the 12 Shvatim and their jobs. They're putting them together in the Degolim and how they will travel around the Mishkan. What we had before also was that the Levi, Shevet Levi, is not counted. It said, we had a specific pasuk that said, right? Achas mati Levi loisif, goyd ve'esroi sham loisif sabasech b'na Yisrael. When we read that, we said we don't know what these two things are. Tif goyd and tiso esroi sham. But if you read the later chapters, we discover what it means. Because Pekudim is not the same as Nesi Esroish. Pekudim means counting in the census, and Nesi Esroish means giving a job. As we'll see explicitly, we have the Pekudim Aleviim now separately, and the Nosei Esroish B'nai Levi separately. So what it says here is, and that's what I said, is more or less the subjects of chapter 1 and 2. Chapter 1 is the Pekudim B'nai Yisrael, and chapter 2, although it doesn't say that language, is the Nesi Esroish B'nai Yisrael, giving each of them a place where to travel, where to camp, where to be. Now, so that was the negative part. It said, don't count Levi. But what the Levi will be, and here it gave their position, their job, relative to how the travel will work. They will be setting up the Mishkan and all of that. And now, we have the count. What we have to now finish now is, in the next chapter, and really in the next two or three chapters, what we have is the Pekudei Aleviim and the Nesi Esroish Aleviim. But it seems to me that before that, we have something even more. So there's at least three stories, or three chapters, or three parashas talking about the Levim. Because first we have something called the genealogy of the Levim. And it says, Tol des Aharon Moish, specifically Aharon Moish, not the whole Shevet Levi. This seems to be a separate chapter, a separate part to me. And we didn't really have something. We had Tol des Bnei Yisrael, maybe we'll have later in Parashas Pinchas, something corresponding to that. Maybe we had earlier in Sefer Shemoyz things corresponding to that. We don't have something entirely corresponding to this parsha for the Bnei Yisrael. We do have a specific for the Levim. And we even say, this is the genealogy of Aharon Moshe on the day that Hashem spoke to Moshe in Har Sinai. So we see that this is going back to an earlier date, so to speak, right? Because we had the date, an explicit date for the Pekudim here, which is the Echad L'Chodesh Hashayini B'Hashen Hashaynis, which is a lot after Dibra Shevas Moshe B'Har Sinai. Although this refers also to stories that happened later, so it must not literally have been said then or something like that. But it seems like this is somehow going out of this story, of this narrative, this chronology we're in, and giving us like, remember who Moshe and Aharon are and what their children are. And really only the children of Aharon. So not clear entirely what is going on here, but that seems to be a separate parsha. Maybe it belongs to some other series of parshas in other places. We have the beginning of Shemoyz, Toldes, Levi, and so on. And it gives us this header, and then it gives us the names of the four children of Aharon, Nodav, Avia, Lozan, and Vesamar. These are the children of Aharon who were Meshuach, they were anointed with oil, Mile Yodam Lachan, they had filled their hands. This is an idiom that means they received the commitment, they received the job to be the Kehanim, and we have the story, and like the really not the story, but the story we had in Parashat Shemini. But what we have here is the result of that story for the genealogy of the children of Aharon, right? The result of the deaths of Nodavavi for the purpose of chronology is that they died, and it gives us always that Nodavavi's deaths are mentioned, I think, 5 or 6 times in the Torah. They're counted by the Medrash. Every time they're mentioned, it gives the story. The Medrash has an explanation for why, but it's always given as like the reason for why they didn't continue the dynasty of Aharon, but Elozev Esamar became the Kehanim al Pnei Aharon Aviyam in the face of Aharon, meaning something like in his lifetime. So that's for that parsha. Now, we have the next parsha, and which connects with the whole length of the chapter, which again organized and in the style of a tzivi, a command, and then doing that command. So we have really two parts. Well, as you can see here, there's three different commands. We can see here one, V'dabar Shem Moshe, two V'dabar Shem Moshe, three V'dabar Shem Moshe, Midbar Sinai. The only the last one really is entirely a continuation of the previous things, as we've said. Bemidbar Sinai, Be'echad L'Chodesh HaShani. The first two ones are really a more general thing. That's why they don't have that date. Maybe they're just a signify to us that this is not entirely a continuation. Like I said, these first two chapters seem to be a general discussion of how Levi becomes the Levi, and it's not really the discussion of the Pekudim and all of that here. So what it says is the first mitzvah that we have, the first command we have is Hashem telling Moshe to take the Levi, and this is Moshe, Levi, Shevet Levi, there's a Haran and his children, which were mentioned before, right? Really, that's the way this chapter is organized. We have a Haran, the Kahanim, and then the Shevet Levi, the rest of Shevet Levi, says, put them, Hamatos, and make them stand, which just means like appoint them to be on the side or in front of a Haran and to service him, to serve a Haran, and their job will be to keep his keep, Veshamres Neshmarti, and of the Kala Ed of all the people, for the Avodas HaMishkan, they will keep the Kli El Moed, and the Mishmeres Bnei Yisrael. In other words, their job is to be in the place of the people. All the people really have responsibility for the Mishkan, and the Levim are helping the Kehanim and helping the people for the Avodas HaMishkan. They're given to Aharon. In other words, they're like sort of, that's why it's a Levim, as the language of Ilova Elai, like Tofel, something like given to him. The Levim are given to Aharon to help him, to serve him. So the Aharon and his children, they're the Kehana. They're really responsible. Mazarak Levimas, every year does not. But the Levim are sort of intermediaries between the Yisrael and the Kehanim, and they're helping the Levim and helping the Yisrael, helping both by, in some sense, keeping the Yidden away from the Kehanim, keeping the Kehanim away from the Yidden, and doing a bunch of work, as we'll see soon. And now, there's another command, which really to explain this. So how did the Levim become the ones that are the Shemre Meshmeres HaMishkan? And for the Yidden. So it says, I took the Levim from the Yidden, instead, Tachas kol bechor peterechem ibnai Yisrael. Apparently, and this is the only time that this story says explicitly in this way, the Bechorim originally, we know that story from Parshas Boy, Likol Bechor, B'yem HaKoyzi kol Bechor, the Bechorim belong to Hashem, so he's like, belong just means something like, they work for him, right? Everyone works for themselves, you have your job, you have your life, and the people that belong to Hashem, like the Kehanim Levim, and here we say the Bechorim originally, are mine, and now, the Bechbot, now there's an exchange, very interesting exchange. I don't really understand this entirely. Happening from the Bechorim to the Levim. Hashem is saying, I took the Levim instead of the Bechorim. Now the Levim will be mine instead of the Bechorim being mine, as it said many times, Li Kal Bechor. So now Bechor Li Al Levim instead of Li Kal Bechor, as he says, Kali Kal Bechor, Biyar Mekoyz Kal Bechor. All the Bechorim became me when I hit all the Bechorim, when I killed all the Bechorim in Mitzrayim. All the Bechorim of the Yidden became mine, Me'od Mad Behema. And now I'm going to exchange them for the Levim. So that's the second parasha, and we'll see the completion of this, the doing of this, in the next part of the chapter. The second part of the chapter talks about how this exactly will happen, and later a little bit even more. And this is something that in some sense we already had before. We know that a Bechoyr has to have a Pidyon, right? It already says a few times already at the end of Vayikra, we already had in Shemos, that a Bechoyr, both of a human and an animal, needs to be redeemed. But now we have a sort of a new story, or a new background or a new kind of idea of this, that originally the Bechorim were to be redeemed in the sense of exchange for Levim. So originally the Bechorim should be the ones working, should be the ones belonging to Hashem. But then Hashem exchanged them for the Bechorim. And then we'll see in the end of the chapter that there were some Bechorim that didn't have Levim to be given, right? Every Yid, so to speak, had to give Hashem one Levi instead of him. So those would have to give five shkolim, and then also Ledoiris, we have to have five shkolim, apparently, because there's no more Levim left to give as a new way, although there's no Levim born, so there's some difficulty in understanding the logic of this exchange, but that's what it says. So this is now, then we get the third mitzvah, and this is a complete one. There's a mitzvah, and already says that he did it. Of course, the actual details of him doing it will be later. But it said, and we had the same structure before, right? It says Hashem told Moshe to count the Levim, and now something different from the Levim and everyone else. The Yidden were counted from 20 years and above, because that's the military age. Levim were counted from Ben Chodesh Emala, which, as we've seen in the story of the Erechim and so on, it just means from when they're born, after until a month, you're sort of not counted as being born, but they were counted from then. And this apparent logic for this is, although we'll see later, it's not that they work, Levim don't start to work from when they're a month old, but they still have some kind of Kedusha, they still have some kind of chosenness or some kind of job, which is theirs, not because they're adults, but because they were born. So in that sense, it makes sense for the Levim to be counted from when they were 1 month, and we'll see the same for the Bechorim, are going to be exchanged from 1 month for the Levim, not only the adult Bechorim from 20 and on. So, and then we have the action, Moshe does as Hashem commanded him, and counted them as he was commanded. So now what we have is something more than we had by the Yidden, right? So by the Yidden we just had the families, we didn't have, in Parshas Pinchas we will have it, right? But in Parshas Bamidbar we didn't have the Mishpachos, or the Batei Av of the Yisro. We only had the counts of each Shevet. Now, for the Levian we will have each family of Levi, we will have the story of their families, right? So each level of the generations and their families, because as we'll see later, each of these will get their specific job, their specific pekuda in the sense of a job or command, post. So we have first the story, the children of Levi. Levi had three children, Gershon, Kos, Meruri. Gershon had two children, Livni and Shimi. Kos had four children, Amram, Yitzhar, Hever, and Uziel. Meruri had two children, Machler, and Mishi. And these 3 + 2 + 4 + 2 are the total mishpachas of the Levi, right? When we count Levi, we always, and even later, much later, people will be ascribing themselves to the family of Amram or from Machli and so on. And now, it repeats itself again and tells us the counts and the places now for each. Now this is the keter, like this is, these are the families. And now we get into the detail of them. And for each family, for each of these, Gershon, Kos, Meruri, and so on, we give the their families, and we give their, so again, that's a repeat, and we give their count, how many of them there were, and also where they live, where they will camp, and also what their job is in the Mishkan, because that's, as we said, that's their job in this whole story. So we have, starting from Gershon, the first one, first son of Levi, who had two families, Livni and Shemi, and this is, here it says different, not Livni and Shemi, it says Mespachas Livni Mespachas Hashem, just to tell us that these became families. Families are like a social grouping, doesn't just mean literally a son of, and brothers and so on, it means that they were considered a family, that had some job that belonged to them, and then even later, you know, you would go to the Mishkan, and would say, you're Livni, and you would do this job. So, in total, their children, their count was 7,500, 7,500, and they each have their space. Geshuni is in the Ma'ariv side, in the west of the Mishkan. Their Nusi is Amon, each have a Nusi, I forgot to say. Each have a Nusi, his Nusi is Al Yosef ben Loel. And their job is to carry the Mishkan, which means the covering of the Mishkan, the fabric, the Riois, the oil, the Mechsai, the three levels of fabrics that were on top of the Mishkan. Also the fabric, the Musach of the oil, the Pesach of the door of the Mishkan. And the same for the chotzer, the kaliach, the curtains of the chotzer, the mosach, the pesach of the chotzer, which is around the mishkan and the mizbech, and the hooks or the screws, whatever it is, the nails that we use for that. So that was the job of Gershon. If you remember the parts of the mishkan, we remember that this organization, the divisions of the parts of the mishkan, were already over there. Like we had, the one part is the fabrics, and there's fabrics on top of the mishkan and in the chotzer. Then we have Kahas. Kahas has four families: Amram, Yitzori, Chevroni, Yizrieli. They had 8,600 people. They were on the Taimon is Durem, right? On the south side of the Mishkan. Their Nusi is a Litzofan Ben Yisrael, and their job is the Kelim Hapnimim, right? The Oren, the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Mizbechos, and their utensils, the tools, the vessels that service the Mishkan, the Mizbech, and the Menorah, and so on. And the Musach. The Musach, apparently, we had already the Musach, so this must mean the Peroiches of inside the Mishkan, which is more holy. So their job is really, as we says later, Kodesh HaKadoshim, the internal vessels that are in the Mishkan. That's Kahas. Then we have Emil, between Gershon, Kahas, and Meruri, for some reason, we get the job of Elozer ben Aharon HaKohen. Elozer, as we said, was the Kohen after Nadav Avi died, so Elozer is the next one who becomes the, like, chief of the Kehanim, although Aharon was there, maybe he was like a higher level, so he didn't like do the actual work. He's Pekuda Shem Resh Merzak, she's in charge of all of this. We'll see later that he's in charge of these two, and he somewhat had another job, was in charge of something else. So now, and now we go to Meruri, the third family, who has two families, the third, like, Mishpacha, maybe these are Batei Av, or maybe the opposite. Meruri is a Beis Av, and the lower level of our Mishpacha, I'm not sure, Machli and Mushi, and they have 6,200 people. Their Nusi is Tzuril ben Avichail. They are on the north side of the Mishkan, and what they carry is the Kroshim of the Mishkan, all the parts of the Kroshim, sort of the wood around the Mishkan, the Brichim, the Amudim, the Adonim, and everything belonging to them, and the same thing, the Amudim of the Chotzer, so the hard parts of the structure of the Mishkan is what they carry. And then in the front, in the Mizrach of the Mishkan, we're left, right? Remember, there's four sides, so we just had three families of Levi. So who's on the front? On the front is Moshe and Aharon and the children. So they have, this is apparently like the most special place. And the Mizrach, here's one place where Mizrach is the most special before, and like in our shuls, Mizrach is special just because we dive into Mizrach. Here, Mizrach is the most special. Moshe, Aharon, and his children, they were camping in the front of the Mishkan, the Mizrach called Kedem. And their job is to to oversee all of this. Shomer Mishmeres HaMikdash. Maybe it might be a difference between Mishmeres HaMishkan and Mishmeres HaMikdash. And Hazar Krevim, as this keeps repeating, but part of the job of the Mishmeres HaMishkan is to make sure that only they do it and not the Zar. And total, now we get the total count of all the Levim is 22,000 exactly. And now, since we remember we have to exchange the Levim for the Bechorim, so we get a mitzvah of counting the Bechorim, we have to know how many there are to exchange them correctly. So Hashem tells Moshe, count every Bechor, every male Bechor from a month and on, count their names, right? Because that's how they count, so it's Mispa Shemoisam. And then you will exchange the Levim instead, the Bechorim, and also the animals with Levim instead of the Bechorim, but those weren't counted, the behemoths weren't counted. And Moshe did that, he counted the Bechorim, and turns out that there were 22,273 Bechorim, so that there's more Bechorim than Levim. So that turns out that those extra Bechorim are a problem, they can't be exchanged instead of a Levi. So we get again Hashem answering this question. Hashem tells Moshe, you will exchange the Bechorim and the behemoths of the Bechorim of the Yidden, the Bechorim of the behemoths, sorry, instead of the Levim. And now, what about the extra? The 273 extra Bechorim, that there's more Bechorim than Levim. For them, you'll take 5 shkulim for each shkel goylas, for each head. Each shekel is esrim gera, we already know that. Shekel HaKodesh is esrim gera, it's repeated many times. And you will give this money to Aharon and his children in exchange for those people. And that's what he does. He takes the money and he gives it total 1,365 shekel, which is what you should get from counting up 273 Bechorim times 5. And he gives it to Aharon as Hashem commanded. And that is the end of this chapter. As I said, I don't entirely understand the logic of this story. I need some explanation. If someone knows one, they can tell me or I can learn and find out.